You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
What is going on, y'all? We are back, another edition of No Bets Bar. This time, UFC Apex 88. One step closer to the great UFC Apex 100. And it's a UFC card. It's definitely a UFC card, Jed. How are we feeling, man?
The march continues to Apex 100.
This is just another stepping stone on the race to Apex 100.
I'm so excited for us when that day finally comes. I don't know. We got to do a blowout episode.
Are we dropping the 1500 for the VIP experience?
Oh, maybe we just should.
I feel like it's just like it's a necessity.
It depends. It depends how much the UFC decides to invest in it. You know, if they, because it would be fitting, right, for them to not care.
Oh yeah, but, no sell it.
Completely. But maybe no for 100, maybe they do care a little more, and then. I don't know. We'll have to see. We've still got a little bit of time, but before the end of this year, my friend, we will be Apex 100, and it'll be a pretty special moment.
So, like, the only tickets that I can find for this weekend are $4,000 a piece.
Pricey.
Yeah, that's the craziest part, is that they make it this VIP experience, so, like, the tickets are just, like, ridiculously expensive.
I mean, yeah, that's a bit pricey, yeah.
I can't do that. No, I can't.
I feel like we could get reimbursed, right? We just put in the ticket. Just take it. Hey, yeah, just comp me this $4,000. Vox Media, thank you. This is a business trip. Thank you very much.
Let's see. Here we go. View packages for Vettori versus Allen. That'll be UFC Apex 90, which, you know, is obviously so still a special event. Oh, starting at 3,000 per person. Man,
that's a lot.
Yeah, I'm thinking UFC. All right, April 27th starts at $1,750 per person. Regardless, I'm thinking that just can't happen.
Probably not. But again, let's wait and see where we're at. You never know. Maybe we'll win the lotto before then. You know.
What's crazy is you can get the championship level VIP ticket for Atlantic City, which is obviously a fight night coming up. You get premium floor level seats, a dedicated VIP entrance, happy hour with UFC fighter and a meet and greet, post-fight octagon experience to get pictures, an official UFC Fight Night Atlantic City ticket. And that's only $1,300 per person.
I mean, but that's not at the world's most famous arena. So, you know, it's just in Atlantic City somewhere. Because again, you're forgetting the entire Apex experience really just comes with all of that, because it's four dudes in a gym watching fist fights, you know?
Sure. That is true. Last week, $299, unbelievable card. Did well on $299, did not do well on boxing and PFL. I was on the fight going longer in Francis Ngannou, Anthony Joshua. That did not happen. Did not happen at all.
It sure didn't.
Cedric Doumbé got a splinter. You know, it was just a rough scene. So it was nice to start bad, end good, rather than
good
the
momentum.
Inverse. But yeah, still a down week for me. But, you know, I count it as a winning week because I won on UFC. And now we're going to win on UFC again this week. How about you, my friend?
I mean, we're just sticking just straight to form, buddy. I lost a quarter of a unit because
truly amazing with how many bets you had as well.
I honestly, the fact that I only lost that much was impressive. And I got to tell you, once again, as has been the case just about every week we've done this show this year, came down to the main event, had a position on Cheeto, was never close to winning that bet. Mind you, I want to be clear, was never competitive. But, you know, I was right there. I was a little in the green heading into the main event. And then that happened. And if I hadn't taken the ChatGPT exacto bet, if I hadn't put a quarter of a unit on Piotr Jan to win in the third round, if I had just listened to ChatGPT overall, we would have broken even. So instead, we're down just a little bit. I took a major position after our show on Anthony Joshua straight up because the number kept coming down. Like I had a decent position on him by decision and I felt okay about that. Super wrong. Couldn't have been more incorrect about that call. But the number kept coming down. I got it at minus 340 for Anthony Joshua straight up. And I was like, this is, I should have bet more, but I put an unreasonably large sum on that, which saved me in the boxing realm. And then like you, the Doombase splinter. I didn't foresee that one, Connor. Didn't see the splinter TKO coming.
Tough to add that into the capping. Yeah. Hindsight's obviously 20/20, but the amount of money that I had on Francis Ngannou or on Tyson Fury against Francis Ngannou, I should have just been doing the same.
Same thing, yeah.
Because it really is. What happened in that match is what I expected to happen against Tyson Fury. So hindsight's 20/20. We went down with our boy, or I went down with our boy, hoping that he wouldn't get knocked down or anything like that. But that's the game we play.
Speaking of boys, Connor. Tough for you last week. The single biggest boy in the history of this show for you takes his first Romero. L.
Yeah, he's won me a lot of money. He has won me a lot of money over the years.
He looked very much like he was on your way to doing it again.
Yeah, between parlay pieces, between props, between everything. Yeah, Jailton Almeida has been kind to me over the years. And yeah, going into round two, it was looking like he was going to continue to be kind to me. I mean, the way that he was just absolutely manhandling Curtis Blaydes in that first round, it was very dominant. Impressive. But yeah, I got caught with something coming in for a takedown, and then just I don't know if he was like already out, and that's why he didn't move at all as Curtis Blaydes landed like 15 to 20 elbows and hammer fists down in a row on his head. But yeah, it's unfortunate. It's not a lot of like fraud check. I don't really know if that's the case. It's kind of just heavyweight MMA. Is anybody that loses to Curtis Blaydes now a fraud?
People don't understand. It's still Curtis Blaydes season, Connor.
Yeah,
man will be the heavyweight champion of the world one day.
The greatest prospect in UFC history. The man has always been the next champion for the last like 7 years. He'll be back. He'll be back. He's still pretty young. He's still, you know, filling into that heavyweight frame. I definitely do not think he goes back down to light heavyweight. Saw a couple people immediately like, time to go back to 205 for Jailton. It's like, let's just relax. Like, we lost to Curtis Blaydes, top tier heavyweight. Like, we can come back from this, guys. It's going to be okay. Felt like this weekend was like the weekend of being reactionary. It was like Cedric gets the splinter and it's just like, so glad the UFC didn't blow a bag on this guy. Could you imagine how dumb they would look? And Ngannou loses. It's just like, he should have never left. What an idiot. This guy is a complete failure. And then, you know, you get into UFC 299. Jailton loses. It's like, time to go to 205. Dustin wins. It's just like, can you imagine being so stupid to put your money on BSD? Like, it's just like the reactionary takes that I saw this weekend were firing off.
It's a big weekend. Whenever there's a big weekend like that, plus people were already primed too, because heading into it, after we recorded, but before the weekend, we get the Jake Paul Mike Tyson. So everybody's ready to start shooting from the hip with their takes.
Yeah,
it's good energy. I'm pro it. It was
the word takes. I love the word takes. It's literally just an opinion. It's just your opinion.
No,
it's
like, is even less of an opinion. Like, because that's the critical, as a take man myself, a take is a, it's a loosely held opinion, even, you know, if there's the scale of firm belief to I don't have any opinion at all, take is much closer to the latter. Yeah,
I like
side.
That scale. I actually like that scale.
Yeah. So it was great. Last weekend was incredibly fun. I mean, it was so good. I'm willing to give a pass for this week. And I'm even willing to give a pass to all those people out there just firing from the hip, because that's what this is about. It's fun times right now, baby.
I mean, it really is crazy getting on Twitter after some of these events. Like, I always, growing up in like the NBA and NFL space, I always thought those fans were reactionary. I think MMA fans take the cake. I think
for sure.
I really do.
You're the worst. Like, the phrase, you know, you're only as good as your last fight, that's been around combat sports since time immemorial, but it is so prevalent here. I mean, look, we had Demetrius Johnson, a man I respect immensely, both for his fighting ability and his mind about the sport, popping off afterwards being like, I think Anthony Joshua would beat Francis Ngannou in a cage fight. I think that would happen. It's basically a striking battle. We saw how that went. Unless Francis changes up. DJ, my brother in Christ, DJ, we just saw Francis change it up against Ciryl Gane. And that's not even factoring in the whole leg kicking thing. Come on, man. But it was take central. Everybody was feeling it. The energy was high. It's great.
Fire him off. Fire him off. I mean, it's a great time to be alive. It's a great time to be on social media in the combat space, especially with everything going on. A little bit of a lull, a little bit of a dip here for the next few weeks, but you know, it's just, you get the energy right. You get the power back for UFC 300 in April. And we still got fights, which is a good thing. And we start this weekend with UFC Apex 88. Tai Tuivasa.
Before we hop into that, we got to throw one last shout out on 299. Our boy 10 Day Tony. I mean, he gave us the lock of the
sure
century,
was.
The
it
millennium.
Sure was.
I don't know. I don't remember if it was the century, the millennium, whatever it was. But Robles de Spain, Spain, 18 seconds. Heavyweight overs died swiftly.
Yeah. he's a problem, man. And I'm really looking forward to watching him fight, because the fact that he got that knockout, like moving backwards, is just so crazy.
He landed like 85% of his strikes in that
he's
fight.
He's 35 too, which is, he's still got time in the heavyweight division.
That's a baby.
Just keep matching him up, dude, and I will continue to watch him, because any guy that comes in like that at the heavyweight division is fireworks to watch. Another shout out, JDM on the flip side. The two J's, my two boys, Jailton and Jack. At least we got, it was like a metaphor for my weekend. Started bad with Jailton, ended great with JDM.
JDM hurt me though, because I had him by decision. Because I was like, oh yeah, and then he wasn't going to win that decision.
No.
But then he did win the fight, so credit to him. But I did just want to throw a shout out to Tony, because if you do something like throw out a lock of the millennium,
no matter the line,
it better come through. And the fact that it came through in 20 seconds, sure, maybe Josh Parisian shouldn't have charged up, hands down, chin up in the air against a bronze medalist karateka, but you know, sometimes that's just gonna happen. So
listen, in the lock of millennium, dude, it doesn't matter that he was like minus 300 or whatever. Yeah. If you could go to a money market manager and he's like, I can guarantee you just by the end of this week, we'll have a 30% increase in your money, would you take it? I'd take it. And that's what Tony gave.
Day of the week. Yeah. I mean, it's fantastic. So
wow, how can we do that, Mr. Market Manager, Money Manager? We're going to put all
Robles.
Of your money on Robles de Spain. We're buying some Cuban real estate, and that real estate takes place in the Octagon this weekend at UFC 299. Everyone else, have a good day. All right. Main event, UFC Apex 88, Tai Tuivasa taking on Marcin Tybura. Closely lined affair going down. Minus 125, Tai Tuivasa, plus 105, Tybura. Listen, I mean, it's criminal that Tai Tuivasa is fighting the Apex. Just feels like a guy that should be on a short list of dudes that shouldn't be fighting at the Apex. He always walks out to a fun song. He buys into the crowd. If he's going to win, it's almost exclusively going to be by knockout. And then when he gets the knockout, he's going to get up on the cage. He's going to grab someone's shoe and he's going to chug a beer out of that shoe. Now we got him in the Apex, no crowd, yada, yada, yada. That's beside the point. I think he's live for a KO here in the very first round. Marcin Tybura been knocked out five times in his career. it just feels like if Tai Tuivasa is going to win, he's going to come in here. He's going to scrap. He's probably going to throw Tybura off of him a couple times. He's going to catch the chin and he's going to put him out. Do I trust that to happen? I just don't know, man. I went back and watched that Volkov performance, and I know the size discrepancy obviously was not in Tai's favor there. But man, he just got beat like a drum, dude. It was rough. And there's a world where Tybura can take this thing to the mat and have similar success. My pick is going to be Tai Tuivasa round one KO, but there's no bet for me on the main.
So I've got two bets, and they are both on Tai Tuivasa. Woo! Because
I love it.
Well, I mean, last week, listeners, avid listeners of the show, remember that I've debuted a new gimmick, and that gimmick is just betting on whoever has the coolest nickname on the fight card. Last week, that was on Asu Almabayev, which his nickname...
Spine Ripper?
Spine Splitter.
Spine Splitter, my mistake, Asu.
It's something different, like, in the actual language, but I don't have it up in front of me, and I don't remember, but I was like, yeah, it's cool. And he absolutely won, 30-27, so I did not bet him to win straight because I'm a fool. I made some extra changes there, but the bet itself of just picking the guy to win, that's 1-0. We're going to keep that going because Bam Bam Tai Tuivasa. I mean, that's just, I mean, look at him. It's the bet. Some solid nicknames on this card, by the way. Shout out to a couple of dudes on here. We got some good ones, but I got to be back with my boy Bam Bam. And I'm just going to go ahead and get ahead of this, Connor, because avid listeners, they might be saying, which Bam Bam, Jed? If you know one thing about me, I love a gimmick parlay. There are two Bam Bams in MMA, and they are both fighting on this fight card. I'm obviously tagging them up together. So I liked Tai Tuivasa straight anyway, outside of any gimmicks, but I can just plug him into all the gimmicks, and it works like just gangbusters for me. But I do genuinely like his chances against Tybura. A little less so with Brian Barberena, but we'll get to that. I mean, Tuivasa has not looked good lately, but the way he loses is to dudes who have legitimate dangerous offense, and that is just not Marcin Tybura. If he loses this fight, I think he's just all the way out, which would be a shame because Bam Bam's the Bam Bam moment. I mean, that was just so electric, Connor. I think that moment's coming back. I think this is a good style matchup for him to get back. And he's got the coolest nickname on the card, so for sure we're backing him.
My very next question to you, once you said you were backing him because of his nickname, was if you were going to do the Bam Bam parlay. I saw that. I thought of you not taking it, but I definitely thought of you. I mean, that's
a must. I don't love the Barberena part, but we can get to that in a little bit. And also, just so we're clear, not all nicknames are created equal. Tai Tuivasa Bam Bam is better than Brian Bam Bam Barberena. Like, it's still a solid Bam Bam for Brian Barberena. Like, still a solid nickname, but I think Tai wears it better, you know?
Support for this show comes from Mercury. Financial operations are needlessly complex. Startups have to cobble together a patchwork of tools to reconcile transactions from different sources and struggle to glean answers from platforms that speak different languages. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so you can pay bills faster, stay in control of company spending, and speed up reconciliation. Apply in minutes at mercury.com and join over 100,000 ambitious startups that trust Mercury. Not just for banking and credit cards, but for the precision, control, and focus they need to transform their financial workflows and perform at their best. Mercury, the art of simplified finances. Apply in minutes at mercury.com. Mercury is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services provided by Choice Financial Group and Evolve Bank & Trust. Members FDIC.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Sure does. Feels like it fits him with his body type. Let's go to the co-main event. Brian Battle taking on Ange Lucia. And right now, Brian Battle is your favorite, -175 Ange Lucia. +145. Speaking of nicknames, I'm going with Pooh Bear here. I've backed Brian Battle a couple times in the past. Nickname. It's a pretty good nickname. Actually, both these guys, the Last Ninja is not bad for for Angelusa. Like the size advantage here for Brian Battle, 3 inches taller, 3 inches of reach. I like I think he's gonna be able to mix in the kicks really well. I think he's the better grappler, even if Angelusa does go for the takedowns. We've seen Brian Battle struggle with takedowns in the past. A lot of people point to the Renat Fakhretdinov fight, but that's a different beast, in my opinion. I mean, Renat has had a lot of success at the UFC level since that fight. Don't love seeing 14 minutes of control time, but I just don't see Angelusa doing that to him here. And I like the gas tank, man. I like the gas tank of Brian Battle. So I rate Brian Battle pretty well. Excited to see him get back into the octagon, and I will be backing him on the money line.
I love this because we're at odds, my good sir.
Let's go.
I have never picked Angelusa to win a fight inside the UFC. However many he has, 4 or 5, whatever it is, picked against him in every single one of them. That changes today because why not? But mostly, I like how he has looked lately. His last couple of fights, Angelusa, and granted, if you're going on strength of schedule, Brian Battle's fought much more difficult opposition, certainly, than Reese McKee and AJ Fletcher, you know. But I do like what Angelusa has looked like, particularly in that Reese McKee fight. I guess when I say strength of schedule, they did both fight AJ Fletcher. So
they did both fight AJ.
Similar there. But I thought he looked really good. I am concerned about the cardio aspect. That is certainly the thing here that's the biggest to me. But I think on the feet, Brian Battle has improved, but he still just seems slow to me. Angelusa is going to outwork him, outvolume him on the feet. If he takes to the ground, then it gets interesting, just because I do think Battle is the better grappler, to your point. I'm just not sure he'll do that, and I think Angelusa is probably good enough to as a defensive wrestler to keep that up. I expect him this to be a pretty competitive fight, but I just think Angelusa will outwork him as long as the gas tank holds up. So we've put an underdog bet in on Angelusa.
Tough for me to go against the Swiss, you know. I mean, that is my homeland. Tough to go against them, but
your homeland is this. I did not realize Switzerland was your homeland.
Amazing place.
Absolutely, I mean, amazing. It's a lovely place.
Cannot wait to go back. So yeah, tough for me to go against the Swiss, but I will be backing Pooh Bear here. Let's keep it rolling to the featured bout. Kennedy and Zichekwu going up against Ovin St. Preux. Your biggest favorite on the card, Kennedy, -575, OSP, +425. What do you make of this fight?
Buddy, I mean, I have two things to say about this fight. The first is, you know me, I've been believing in Kennedy and Zichekwu for a long time, and it has continued to bite me in the ass. Sometimes it looked great, sometimes it looked dumb. Now you want me to believe in him to the tune of -500?
-575.
Oh, I'm sorry. -575. Can't do it. Just can't do it. But I would like to, I don't know if this is out there anywhere else. If it is, I'm sorry for stepping on your corner, people. But in the process of this, I'm recreating a nickname for this man, because I got to tell you, African Savage, that's just not working for me. It's generic. Like, yes, Nigerian, but African Savage is just not a cool nickname. I'd like to rebrand him Kenny Nunchucks, and I feel pretty good about Kenny Nunchucks as a nickname. And if he consents to going with this, then moving forward, I'll exclusively bet on Kenny Nunchucks. So somebody get it out to him. Let him know Kenny Nunchucks is the new name. And if he's like, all right, hell yeah, then I'll just bet him every time until the end of his career.
Yeah, I feel like that's a valid argument. I think Kennedy would welcome that. And really be pushed by the fact that you would bet on him every time for the rest of his career.
I mean, you got to get support. You got to build support any way you can. And considering his last fight, he just got absolutely run over by Dustin Jacoby. He's in a spot where he needs help, you know?
Yeah. So, trusting him at -575 is just not something I'm going to do in this situation, especially against the guy in OSP that can hurt you. But on the flip side of that, I don't know how much OSP wants to be there. I don't know how much he should be getting in the octagon this weekend. 40 years old, been knocked out in 3 of his last 4 fights. I think Kennedy is going to knock him out. That is what I think is going to happen. So instead of paying the -575 on him, I'm going to take by KO at -145. Yeah, he
better had price.
One, one standing guillotine, but 8 of his 12 wins come by knockout. OSP, like I said, he's been knocked out in 3 of his last 4 fights, 5 times overall, 40 years old. Think that it's just what's going to happen. Feel like they're going to come out in the first round, chuck him. Kennedy's going to catch him, and OSP is going to fall.
I mean, I absolutely hope you win. But when inevitably Kenny Nunchucks fumbles the bag, just know that I know how you feel, because I've been in that room many times at this point.
Brother, if he gets knocked out by OSP, it's just like, man, you ain't got much left, Kennedy.
He's a maddening fighter because he has all the tools to be something, and it's just not getting there.
Doesn't have a great chin either. I mean, he's been put out.
It's tough.
Jones now. All right, let's move on to a banger of a fight. Christian Rodriguez moving up to featherweight to take on Isaac Dolgarian. Right now, Dolgarian, your favorite, minus 192. C-Rod coming back at plus 160. Yeah, banger. I think this is going to be a great fight. People's champ, Christian Rodriguez, took the O of Raul Rosas and Cameron Simon. Now, you know, few misses at bantamweight. I think the last 2 fights and on Contender Series, he missed at bantamweight. Now he's moving up to featherweight, where he has fought before. Fought Jonathan Pierce there. Unfortunately, took an L. Fighting Dolgarian, who is just a savage in there. Between his pro and AMI, 10 fights, 10 wins, all by first round finish. I think this is 2 exciting prospects, and they're getting a great matchup in this one. Don't know who wins. Feel like I see a lot of people on Christian Rodriguez, but the line keeps on dropping towards Isaac Dolgarian. What I did take, his fight does not go to a decision. The way that Isaac Dolgarian finished Francis Marshall was just a very violent affair. And ferocious. Like I said, amateur, pro, 10 fights, 10 wins, all first round finishes. I don't have any evidence that says he's going to just gas out. I haven't seen anything from that. So if he continues it into the second and third round, I don't see why he can't get a finish there as well. And if he does gas out, C-Rod, 7 of his 11 fights have not gone to a decision. I'm paying minus 130 for it. When you got a guy that just gets first round finishes, I just got to play it. It's just in my principle. So that's what I'll be taking. Fight does not go to a decision. C-Rod, Isaac Dolgarian.
Yeah. If this fight goes to a decision, I'll be fairly surprised given the way, I mean, just like you said, that Dolgarian fights. Any concern at all if you are a Dolgarian backer that our boy C-Rod has never lost to an undefeated fighter? Because you brought it out. I mean, he's out here.
Oh, Rosas, Cameron Simon.
He's out here just ruining prospects, and Dolgarian might be the latest. Because of that, I just have opted to stay away here. Dolgarian, I think, should win, but he's really green, and C-Rod has been doing great things lately. So I just stayed entirely away from this fight.
So against fighters that have never recorded a loss in his professional career.
4-0 professionally.
Beat Jose Leon, beat John Pham. Who could forget the Ryan McIntosh fight? Unfortunately, Ryan McIntosh has 36 professional
losses. So he's also undefeated against dudes with 36 professional losses. So
yeah, that's a good
smaller
point,
sample size.
Yeah. So can C-Rod dole out his third straight one to the guys with these O's? That's going to be very interesting.
You change his nickname to And One.
Instead
of C-Rod.
That's not now you're really cooking something. Kennedy Nunchucks was pretty good. And One is amazing if that's what he does. He just keeps adding ones to people.
It'd be really good. really good.
Midwest Choppa, get any consideration for nickname of the week?
No. I just don't like anything about that, honestly. Wow. Doesn't hit me in my feels. Not anything. I will say it is unique. There's not going to be a much other Midwest Choppas running around.
I like it. It's unique. Let's keep it rolling on the main card. Women's bantamweight bout, the premier division in the UFC. Panic Yanzad taking on Macy Chazon. And you can get Macy Chazon for the short price of minus 238. Yanzad plus 195. All right, so Chazon missed weight at featherweight. Now she's at bantamweight. I'm not racing to play her at minus 238, but I mean, if she makes the weight, she's going to be the bigger fighter. She'll likely win. But I'm just not gonna pay the juice on this one.
First off, Panny Kianzad Banzai. That's for my money. That's the second best nickname on the fight card.
Not bad.
I'm glad it's the second best because I don't think she's gonna win. And if it was the best, I just have to be backing her. I do think Jason probably wins. I don't feel massively confident, but she's gonna be like the bigger fighter. Kianzad's fun, but has never gotten there. But Connor, we know where this is going, buddy. This is a women's bantamweight fight. In 2023, women's bantamweight fights went to decision 73% of the time. If Kianzad misses weight and this becomes a featherweight / catchweight fight, 100% decision rate on featherweight fights, women's featherweight fights in the UFC in 2023. We're taking overs. They've been by far my most successful bet this year. They just keep cashing. There's a women's bantamweight fight. Because the price here is fairly big, it's -360 for the over 2.5. Wow. We've parlayed it. Again, sneak preview. Stay listening. There's another women's bantamweight fight. We're living our truths here, ladies and gentlemen. Parlayed those two together for a women's bantamweight pacifist parlay. Overs 2.5. And we can get to that in a couple of fights here.
I look forward to it. I truly am licking my chops for that one. Let's finish out the main card. Gerald Meerschaert taking on Brian Bam Bam Barbarena. Right now, GM3, your favorite. -245, Barbarena +200. We know where you're at. I got nothing. The path to victory is clear for GM3. Take him down and submit him. Like, that's just what you got to do. If it stays standing, Brian Barbarena is live. He is a dog. He can finish people. But if it doesn't, I think he's getting tapped.
It's just going to go so poorly for him. It, like, the stats, I don't have the stats pulled up in front of me because it was like 30% defensive wrestle rate or whatever, but just the numbers. Makhmud Murdov took him down 13 out of 16 times. Gunnar Nelson, 1 out of 2, but he tapped him immediately. Rafael dos Anjos, 4 out of 6. Matt Brown, 5 out of 7. Like, he is not stopping takedowns. GM3 is the naturally bigger man, sort of a natural middleweight in there. Probably can get the takedowns, but GM3 is also a guy who you can get out of there. Bam Bam's tough as they come. There's a reason he's +205 or whatever, but we got to live the parlay. He's parlayed up with Ty. Also have Ty straight, but parlayed up with Ty, and we're going to hope that Bam Bam can get it done in a real grimy way.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at his last, if you don't count the Robbie Lawler fight and you look at his last 7 fights, he's been taken down 40 times.
Out of like 57 or something attempts. I will say there is one sliver of hope in that, and it is that Matt Brown and Darian Weeks took him down like over 50%, and he won those fights. Probably maybe shouldn't have won the Matt Brown fight, but he did win those fights despite giving up a lot of takedowns. If he can get taken down and survive and then just do the damage when he is on his feet, get back up, there's a path, but this should be a GM3 fight if he can fight smart.
Yeah, I mean, his last 7 wins are by submission, so I would not be surprised if that's what happens here.
You ready?
Showtime. On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's roll on to the prelims. Mike Davis taking on Natan Levy, and right now Mike Davis is a sizable favorite, -310, Natan Levy +250. Other than the inactivity for Mike Davis, I mean, obviously, you know, these layoffs are a concern. We haven't seen him in about a year and a half now. I think Mike Davis will win this fight. Like, if he's coming in here healthy, ready to go, he's the much better striker in this situation. I actually think he has the better wrestling as well. I like the cardio. I think he wins this one by a clear decision, or he could even finish Nathan Levy as well.
Well, here's the thing about that long layoff. Nathan Levy is coming off almost the exact same layoff.
Oh, that's a great stat.
Mike Davis last fought October of 2022. Nathan Levy fought 2 months later in December. So he is also coming off a pretty extended layoff. And like you, I agree. Like, that would be the concern, but Levy is coming off something similar. Stylistically, I think that this fight lines up. I mean, granted, a year and some change for both dudes. Anything could be different either side of it. So that's why, and with the price this large, I just don't have a bet, but I do think it's going to be a good night for Mike Davis.
I parlayed him up. I will get to that second piece in just a little bit, but next up, Josie Ann Nunez, great nickname there, taking on Chelsea Chandler. Right now, Chandler is the underdog, plus 114. Josie Ann Nunez, minus 135. My pick is Chelsea Chandler just because of how big she is and the fact that Josie Ann Nunez, how much she struggled with Farah Zarin, size advantage that she had. Not many people struggle with that test. But I'm not betting on this. I will have no bets.
I mean, I'm betting the way you know I'm betting. I've taken the over 2.5. I will say Josie has been historically a finisher and opposed to this, but her last two fights have gone to decision. And she's fighting Chelsea Chandler, who, aside from having a major size advantage, because basically everyone's going to have it against Josie, you know, Chelsea Chandler's a Caesar Gracie Stockton girl. Like, those folk don't ever get put out. Like, they're durable as all hell. She's never been finished. I don't think Josie's going to be the first one to do it if she's having her way. And Josie herself has been fairly tough. So taking the over, parlayed that up again with the Kianza Chase on over. And that pays out plus 115 for the women's bantamweight pacifist parlay.
How about a Josie Ann Nunez minus 250 on the over 1.5 and the Kianza over 1.5 minus 550. You get an over 1.5 parlay at minus 152.
That's a great price.
That's tempting to me.
It's a very good price. I very much like that price.
That is very tempting to me. I might have to add that.
I will just say neither Nunez nor Chandler have ever been finished. So I think there's, because that's clearly the one that's more dangerous to not hit the over 2.5. But if you're just going full safety measures, totally understand it. I know you love a 1.5, and I think that's a great bet.
You big 1.5 guy.
That's a good price.
Half their, Chelsea Chandler been under it before?
I'm only getting like on a $100 bet, when I'm getting like 60 extra bucks for the over 2.5 parlay versus your over 1.5 parlay.
Might have to check it out. Chelsea Chandler, 7 fights. Gotta appreciate that.
How do you not appreciate that? You know,
7 professional fights. She's got to appreciate it. And she's, you know, yeah, I might do it. And honestly, it feels like Josie Ann Nunez is a friend of the over 1.5. So if you look at her fights, you know, she had 3 straight fights where she went over by 1 second, by 1 minute, and then by 2 minutes. So
we might need to start asking the question: is she betting on herself
to go over 1.5? Yeah.
Supplementing her income with over bets.
All right, I might add that. All right, let's keep it rolling to a men's flyweight fight. This one could be primed for some violence. Ode Osborne taking on Jafel Filho. And right now, Filho is your favorite, minus 180. Ode Osborne coming back at plus 150. I do not have a bet here, but I was really tempted by Jafel inside the distance at minus 110. He's finished 14 of his 15 wins, and Ode Osborne has been finished in all 4 of his UFC losses. 3 times in his career, he has been subbed. That feels like the most likely path to victory for Jafel Filho here.
I like it. I think we haven't really spoken about it like pointedly. I think we know that flyweight unders aren't necessarily back, but I decided to just throw one in for the nostalgia. Ode Osborne has been a very good flyweight under man. His career, 6 of his 8 in the UFC have hit the under. Filho, a big finisher in the regional circuit. Under 2.5 rounds, minus 200, -200 is what I got it at. So I like it. Just taking the shot, you know. See, it'll just be fun. Just want to feel alive again, Connor.
Yeah, old time's sake.
Trying to recap the magic.
All right, next up, Thiago Moises taking on Mitch Ramirez. Right now you can get Thiago Moises for -360. Mitch Ramirez coming back at +285. Yeah, short notice Mitch Ramirez, man who got knocked out on the Contender Series, taking on Thiago Moises, younger, more skilled, fought the much more difficult level of competition, more experience. Moises is my pick.
Yeah, Moises is my pick. Mitch Ramirez was not that impressive off the Contender Series, given the fact that he got knocked out. So good for him. Shouts to you for finding a way into the comp anyway. But I believe that Thiago Moises will win. Honestly, I think he's pretty good parlay fodder. I don't have him in anything right now just because there was nothing else for me. I might just put him in an open parlay. Just leave him as a leg to pair up with something in the future that's also open, because big Moises guy, like he's my kind of fighter. He can do a little bit of everything, super fun, or at least for me. And like he's going to lose to the guys he's supposed to lose to, and he's going to beat the guys he's supposed to beat. He is going to be a brilliant gatekeeper to the top 20, and I'm pretty confident Mitch Ramirez is not in the top 20, so...
Yeah. I used Thiago Moises with Mike Davis. That is my parlay.
That's a reasonable parlay, yeah.
That's what I'm rolling with.
That's probably going to be a popular parlay this week.
I could see it. Let's keep it rolling. Josh Koulibaly taking on Danny Silva. Right now you can get Danny Silva for +160. Koulibaly -192. I think this is going to be a fun fight. I mean, Danny Silva just gets into wars, dude. Him and Angel Pacheco combined for 401 significant strikes in their Contender Series fight. Koulibaly, like, he tries for takedowns, has never accomplished one. He is 0-13 in his UFC career on going for takedowns. So I think they just get after it. I think they push the pace. Danny Silva forces him to engage. Koulibaly has power. So I think it's fun. I don't have a bet, but I think this is a very fun fight.
Very fun fight. Danny Silva, most recent season of Contender Series. He was in my big paws in a puppy category as a prospect to legitimately watch, make some noise. Like you said, the fight with Angel Pacheco was great. Pacheco, even like that fight was super fun. Pacheco's making his debut later this month. The last card this month, whichever one that one is, in a couple weeks here. Dude, Silva's just great, man. He's fast, good athlete, got great boxing. Like he's going to enter the UFC and be one of the better boxers in the company. And I think that's going to serve him well against Koulibaly. Taking a dog shot on my boy Danny Silva from Contender Series, +161.
I don't mind that. I don't mind that at all. I think the volume could be overwhelming for Koulibaly.
Because, I mean, you said it. Josh Koulibaly can't get takedowns. And I think Danny Silva is the better boxer, got the better mitts on him. Maybe not as much pure power as Koulibaly has, but... not a slouch there, and I know we can have the dog fights because we saw it on Contender Series, so I like the man. I'm supporting him.
Yep. Shout out to Mr. Danny Silva. Next up, Corey McKenna taking on Jacqueline Amaram, and right now McKenna is your favorite at -125. Amaram coming back at +105. Anything on this women's strawweight bout?
Connie, you know my policy this year, and I'm sticking with it. I'm taking overs on the women's fights because in 2023, strawweight bouts, 57% of them, Connor, went to decision. Corey McKenna, I mean, she's about 50-50 basically on whether she's going to get finishes or decisions. Jacqueline Amaram, gone to one decision in her career. So that's concerning, but we're just playing the numbers game, taking the over. It's -200, so... 100 will get you 50 on it, and I'm riding that. If I have to pick a side, I'll probably pick McKenna. She's just real young, and I tend to favor youth as the upside factor. You can get so much better between fight to fight when you're 24 or whatever she is. But I won't be shocked if Amaram comes in. It's just a little better at this point in time.
Yeah, I like McKenna too. The cardio is a big factor for me. The submission defense, she's proven she's got some of that. I like the wrestling. I feel like it's Amaram's going to either sub her earlier, or McKenna's just going to keep it going throughout the three rounds and get it done. So yeah, Not much else to say on that one.
Also, Poppins, solid nickname for Gordon McKenna.
Solid nickname. All right, let's get into
questions about. That's a gym that I don't. I'm not a huge fan of that gym, but Poppins, great nickname.
Last fight that we'll talk about, first fight of the night. That's Chad and Helliger taking on Sharalampos Gregorio, and right now, Chad and Helliger is the underdog, +136. Sharalampos -162. I got nothing on this one. Nothing on the curtain jerker for me. Anything for you, good sir?
Yeah, another Sharalampos, another guy off the most recent season of the Contender Series. Didn't think nearly as highly of him, but that was mainly an age factor. Let me confirm this, but I think he's like 32. Might be a little younger than that. He's 31. He's about to be 32. He turns 32 on the 31st. And so that was really why I knocked him, but he showed a little bit of something. He's got pretty solid boxing, good speed. He's just a little old, but against a guy like Helliger, I've just never been super impressed with him and his run. And so because it's, I don't know, I felt weird because it's a pretty light week for me this week, considering last week I had like 23 bets down. So I was like, yeah, I could throw another backer on my Contender Series, boy. Might as well. So -155, I've got a bet down on Gregorio.
I love it. Yeah, I'm keeping it nice and tight this week. And that is the card, UFC Apex.
We've done it.
88. We're back at the Apex next week. UFC Apex 89, Nama Yunus versus...
Hibas. So, yes. Connor, before we exit,
please,
have you looked at next week's card?
No, I have not. Better or worse than this?
I'm real confident it's worse. The main event is better. The main event's like an actually legitimately good fight, interesting stakes, things that matter, former UFC champion and beloved fighter in the main event. Granted, it's Rosnam Yunus in the Apex or whatever. The rest of that card, tough hang.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Wow.
Also, I believe that's 14 fights on the card looking at right now, which is
7 o'clock start. This is hell. This is hell.
I mean, you do get one of the Taffa brothers. Isn't this, this is the other one, right?
Because yeah, this one
they
stepped
swapped
up.
Roles
yeah.
functionally.
Yeah.
You get Edmund Shabazian, Cameron Simon. Like half of some of these fights are interesting. Billy Q, Gabriel Miranda is going to be a fun fight. But just looking on paper, Luis Pajuelo is another Contender Series dude. It's a tough fight, man. Usman kick it off. Heavyweight overs are back for the opening fight, though. Baby.
I have bad news for you. Gabriel Miranda is off. It's Yusuf Zawal now.
Oh, well. I mean, Billy Q's still fun.
So yeah, no, I like Billy Q. Neither of these cards are good, dude. Let's just be real. Neither of these cards are good.
They're not.
I mean, you got an undefeated matchup between Igor Severino and Andre Lima.
Love undefeated matchups. That's great.
Which is just a Contender Series fight. It's just two guys straight off the Contender Series, and now they're fighting.
I mean, yeah.
Under the UFC banner. I mean, this is what we have to go through to get to 300. I mean, that's just as simple as that.
And it's okay. Look, 299 is one of the best cards in several years.
Yes.
It's great. We were talking beforehand. I have long been of the opinion that the UFC should, as a rule, take the week after a pay-per-view off.
They really should.
Just to let the product breathe. There are so many storylines from this past week that have come out that no one's going to be... Honestly, they probably should have switched these fight cards. Just left the main events in place, but swap because no one's going to talk about this fight card this weekend because there's still the fallout of everything coming off of 299. So could have let us marinate in that a little bit more. And then we've had a week off. Now let's get back and into it, but it's not their way. It's not what's going to happen. And if you're there Saturday, and you got nothing else to do. The worst things you can do than watch fights, I suppose.
Sure is. That's that. UFC Apex 88. We're back next week with Apex 89. See y'all then.
Love y'all.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.